At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about The Last of Us, Season 2, Episode 7, entitled Convergence. And we have a special guest with us today. It's my boy Adam and also my boy Jamie.
Wah, 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 wah.
Hi, welcome to be back to talk about the season that adapted the least cool part of the second most cool game.
Your vibes already immaculate.
Pretty. I wanted them to do all of game two. I think they had time. They wasted it.
I mean, we got 7 episodes. It should have been 10. I think splitting into 2 seasons is fine, but like, they skipped so much. It was so disjointed. They moved so quickly. This last episode was so... Everything felt so fast.
Yeah, okay.
They Peter Jackson's The Hobbited it.
Yes, yeah. That's an apt description. Okay, let's do this, because I think I want to use the most of this time at the end to just talk about the season as a whole, now that we have our boy Jamie. And by the way, for context, everybody, if you've been listening to this show in the recent years and you haven't gone into our back catalog... The reason this podcast exists at all is because Jamie came up with the idea to do it like 9 years ago. So thank or hate him for that. I don't know.
I knew they would make a show out of The Last of Us, and I laid the groundwork really early.
Yeah. So
before the second game even came out.
Right. And before we changed the name of this podcast for the third time. Okay. Let's talk about what happened in Convergence. So, season finale, folks. After torturing Nora, Ellie returns to the theater. And she reveals to Dina that Joel massacred the Fireflies in Salt Lake City, including Abby's father, to save her. And then Dina's reaction was basically, so, let me get this straight. He killed them all, and they were mad because he killed them all. Yeah, Ellie, I'm sorry, man. That makes a lot of sense. I'm fucking pregnant. Let's leave.
Yeah, and Ellie seems pretty messed up by what happens. And I had to wonder if she ever stopped for a moment and thought, like, gee, you know, Joel made Shell Shock look so cool. I thought it would be awesome.
Ooh, big oof.
It's a big oof. Dina's just like, dude, you're going to be a dad, and I'm going to be a mom, and we got to get out of here. Because yeah, Joel obviously kind of maybe deserved this.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I feel like I'm going to be pretty lukewarm on this entire episode. This podcast. I'm sorry. Yeah, and like, there's a lot that there is a lot that they got right, like very close to the game's material, but just everything is just all over the place. They're jumping forward, they're making changes that don't need to be there. They're adding things that just don't need to be there. And we'll get into that. But it's whatever.
Yeah, your vibes are hard to place at the moment. Anyway,
it's fine.
On Ellie's third day in Seattle, she and Jesse now leave to go find Tommy. As we all recall, Dina got shot in the air with an arrow in the knee, so she can't move. And as they are trying to find Tommy, they begin to argue about Ellie being selfish in a moment where Jesse prevents Ellie from interfering with wolf soldiers assaulting a Seraphite, where like Ellie is trying to stand on this moral high ground and be like, we got to save him. And Jesse, I think, says what any normal human being in this situation would say, which is just like, there's 5 of them. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? You're just trying to get us killed so constantly. And it's frustrating to watch. She comes off in this episode and in this almost entire season. This is one of the large, really big reasons why this is a weird season. She just kind of comes off as dumb, and it's disappointing.
Yeah, she's not like smart about anything. In the game, she's so tactful. I've said that so many times. Like, you feel like she has a great understanding of everything around her, the world around her, the decisions she's making. Yes, she's a little aggressive, but she understands the repercussions, or so it feels. Where here, it's just like willy-nilly, like, I'm just going to do this and whatever.
Also, that's the people, that the faction that shot your girlfriend. Oh no, those five aliens are teaming up against that one predator. We can't let that stand.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
It's just like, did she forget what consequences are?
Yeah, clearly.
After this, Jesse then figures out that Dina is pregnant because Ellie just straight up accidentally tells him. And he's just like, oh my God, I'm going to be a dad. And then Ellie was like, actually, I'm going to be a dad.
How dare
but
you?
But she
take
never
that
says
me.
That to him, actually. In the game or the show, there's never a pointed conversation of like, by the way, I'm taking Dina. She's my girlfriend now.
Yeah, right, right. And at the whole point, like, well, the whole open with Dina and Jesse also didn't happen in the game where he helps her because she doesn't get shot. Ellie gets shot in the game. Dina doesn't get injured. It's just, it's these weird changes. I mean, it progresses Jesse's story. Like, I like that Jesse's getting a little bit more spotlight on him. I think he was a good character in the game. You don't really know much about him, so we're learning more about him, which is cool. But like, they're changing so much and making Ellie and Dina's thing a little bit more disjointed because of it. So I don't know.
Yeah, as you're talking or saying that, this is the point where Jesse does his backstory. He shares that he loves someone from a passing group who asked him to join her to go to Mexico, but then he stayed out of loyalty to the community. And my first thought was, good thing you stayed, because you're about to live a long and prosperous life.
Yeah, meanwhile, that girl's living it up in Mexico.
Yeah, she's just having like shots of tequila, assumably.
Single and happy. Yeah.
Going to Cabo, baby. Let's go.
Cabo is sort of a stronghold that he could have gone to, but he chose not to. And it's going to, again, bear fruit long term.
Yeah, Cabo, yeah, Cabo and Cozumel are fighting over who has the best pina colada.
Yeah, I was going to make a similar joke. I'm like, oh, yeah. It turns out like coconuts are what cures the fungus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the version in this world of getting caught in the rain is turning into a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like the song?
Getting caught in the rain.
You know that one?
Yeah, everybody got that.
I don't think they did. It was a bad joke. The two continue to scope out Seattle.
The two continue to scope out Seattle.
Yeah. I don't know why Farley. Ellie from afar sees an aquarium and realizes that based on like what Nora said while she was hitting her in the legs with a pipe, that oh my God, Abby is located in the aquarium. And Jesse is then like, yeah, that's not what we're doing right now. And also, by the way, I voted against you to be able to come here and avenge Joel to protect I'm again just trying to protect the community, a community that obviously needs protection. And once more, you are just here making selfish decisions, going to the aquarium rather than, you know, going to find Tommy, a man who has spent a large part of his time caring for you. Mm. And then Ellie's like, I don't care about any of that.
So the vote was not as big of a deal in the game.
Yeah, there was no vote in the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think they might have like lampshaded that, like, we agreed not to do this, Ellie, or something. But
yeah,
in any case,
yeah.
There's no big vote, and this conversation doesn't really go down this way, but it's just so funny that, like, so often are Dina and Jesse explaining simple things to Ellie, like, it just makes her seem really dumb.
Yeah,
and half the time, like, the point where Dina's got the arrow in her leg, and Ellie's like, are you okay? And it's like, obviously we know what she means, but I wanted Dina to be like, no, Ellie, the baby's not in the leg, don't worry.
The birds and the bees in the leg. You just didn't get the talk.
Oh, my God.
Jesse.
And then one more point. Sorry. Just to say, Tommy also seems to be soloing this and not really, he's not asking for their help, nor is he radioing asking for help. And just to say, he's only in the precarious situation that he's in at the end of the episode because he linked up with them. And before that, he seemed to be pretty much like fucking up all of the wolves by himself.
Yeah. He's a sniper, baby.
They can hear on the radio. He's just like 1v30ing. And
he's kicking all of our asses. Oh, well, we're all fucked up. We're all dead over here. Oh, God, we better get out there and help Tommy.
Yeah. Unless a moron girl comes closer to us, we're going to be scot-free over here. Anyway, we then cut to Wolf and Isaac preparing the group for an attack on the Seraphites Island. He's worried in this moment about the fact that Abby's group has disappeared and then discusses how he would actually like Abby to succeed him when he dies, which he assumes is going to happen either tonight or tomorrow. And I honestly just wish I cared, like, at all. But with very little Isaac and Abby backstory, they didn't make me care about either of these two people. So this entire scene, while very well acted and fun, held no weight whatsoever.
Yeah, I wanted more Isaac in this season. I thought we were going to get it. He's such a great character in the game. And I just wanted that, like, brooding, like, imposing, really kind of evil version of Isaac. And even though it's the same actor, too, like, he is the same actor. It's just, it's written so different. There's a lot of changes to these characters. And there's nothing about the show that says these actors are bad at their job. They're very good at what they're acting with the material they're given. It's just the material is so off for me.
Yeah, and I just want to, I have a theory about this. It's too bad I wasn't on the rest of the show, but theory is that this is not the same host that was Bernard, but the same model of host.
Okay.
and so probably Abby is some long-term player of a Delos-style game with hosts in it. And she wants to play out The Last of Us, but she's not jacked like Abby was. So this is just a woman who wants to role play as Abby, and all the characters are going to treat her like she's Abby.
So is this like the Matrix Resurrections, where it's like a game within a game?
Jesus. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, it's like that.
Are we playing our own kind of game where the objective is to alienate as many people at once as possible?
Yeah, it sure feels it.
Jeffrey writes in a lot of stuff these days.
Oh, fuck. So now then the worst thing happens, because as Ellie is going to the aquarium, she is hit by a giant rogue wave and then gets beached on the Seraphite Island, where she is apprehended by the group. And before they can disembowel her, the island gets attacked by Wolf and Ellie escapes. And hey, fuck this scene, actually. This is off. They were just, Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann in this moment are just treating the audience like they're morons. It's honestly embarrassing that this scene was in there at all. Their point was that, hey, remember the Seraphites are on an island? Remember they have a town or a city that can be attacked? You could have shown an explosion from afar, and we wouldn't have been like, oh, man, who's Wolf attacking?
Yeah, they could have cut this and made better scenes, like made the scenes that should have been a little bit longer.
Also, I swear the little girl that saw Ellie on the island was the little girl who died previously. Not a girl that looked like her, but the same girl.
You think?
Looked a lot like her.
Oh, I don't know. It was really Dirk.
It was Dirk, and they had just a lack of actors that day. They were like, you know what? The audience is dumb as fuck. They won't remember. Just put her in.
Yeah, just like with Game of Thrones, I was like, well, is it me? Is it because I'm watching this on an iPad? But no, the episode looked like shit.
I had to, you know, I had to bring up the brightness on my TV, but it was better than I thought it was going to be, because I heard all these horror stories of Game of Thrones being so dark you couldn't even see their face. At least I could see things. It just, I did need to increase the brightness a little bit.
Let's be really clear. When that conversation is being had about Game of Thrones, it is about one episode. Granted, yeah. It is an episode that was built up for 8 seasons. So when it was dark and you couldn't see anything, there was a good reason for a large portion of the audience to be like, hey, fuck that. How dare you make this choice? But we don't have a lot of nighttime scenes with Ellie specifically. And this scene, you're going to make a scene that's superfluous, dumb, honestly treating us poorly, and now we can't even see it? Cool.
Yeah.
Another like Game of Thrones parallel is that like these distances are wacky. She was so far from the island, which was so far from the aquarium, but it all just works out. It's fine.
Yeah. Also, her journey,
Bella
is so
Ramsey
much...
was in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so it's tied together.
Oh, damn. Okay, so that is also, as we know, because Drogon is in season 2 of Westworld.
Correct.
That was just another park.
And Lyanna Mormont, now about to get disemboweled, but now then strewn to the side and can go to an aquarium.
Try segueing out of that.
Well... So
Ellie is going to the aquarium.
Well, something else to say about Ellie's journey to the aquarium. It's so abbreviated, man. Like, that was a huge part of playing the game, was her journey to the aquarium.
Yes.
And what happens. Like, there's so much that happens. You fight infected that are like really intense on your way to that aquarium, and they
in the
completely,
water
no, it was before she even got in the boat. Like, she's just her journey too, like the her seeing the aquarium from a distance was so shortened, Ryan. Like, it's crazy.
Yes. And Ryan, there is a part where her and an infected fly out of a window, and then she kills it as they're like flowing down a rushing river, and I was like, I can't wait to see that part.
Yeah. It doesn't happen. Oh, dude.
Well, that
and then
sucks.
Also, just to say the big wave that hits her on the boat. As I was watching that, and the CGI for that was terrible.
The boat.
When she's in the boat and the wave hits her.
Immediately.
That part in the game was like so fucking hardcore, and
it
felt
really
so
intense.
Flat in the show.
Dude, it's almost like the game nailed the intensity more than a live action show did. Like,
but hey, the sets looked exactly like the game.
They,
I don't know if
really
that did anything for you, Ryan, but the aquarium looked just like in the game. Perfect.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the set pieces continue to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, sure, because you can build them on a soundstage and make them look like the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when she got hit by the wave, I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. And then she was just there. Oh, no, actually, she got hit by a wave. Seraphite Island. I was mad about that scene even happening. And then she's just at the aquarium. And honestly, I was just so sort of mad about the Seraphite Island thing that I let that slide. And then now we're actually at the aquarium where Ellie confronts Abby's friends, Owen and Mel.
Sorry, Ryan. No, just to say one last thing about this boat trip. In the game, she does get thrown out of the boat and then just like fueled on pure rage, just powers through to the aquarium anyway. But here in the show, literally like at the beginning of Link's Awakening, a big wave goes over her and she blacks out and she's up on the beach, which is like, that's how that scene would transition in a video game.
Yeah.
But instead, that's how it happened in the show. And in the game, there was like a cool scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to make
She never touches the Seraphite Island. She never, that
guys,
does not happen.
Yeah, no, I know. Listen, guys, the amount of times I'm going to allow it to continue to happen because it just has to. Comparison is not allowing comparison is folly. But the amount of times the words in the game has happened on this podcast makes
it's
me want to blast my fucking brains.
Do you want me to pretend like I'm vomiting again every time?
No, that got old really quick. Although I did like it the first few times. Can I go to the aquarium now?
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
Thank Christ. We're in
the
aquarium. Yeah, we're in the aquarium. And Ellie is asking Mel and Owen about Abby's whereabouts. And Owen grabs a gun to try to shoot Ellie. But Ellie is a quick draw, you know, because she learned that from Joel, who's dead. And she shoots Owen and also strikes Mel. So like two for one. Pretty cool. The moment in time where Mel goes to the ground, it becomes clear that she was pregnant. And then Mel starts begging Ellie to save the baby through an emergency C-section before Mel's dead. And then Ellie is too shocked to even be able to do that and isn't able to get the baby out. She's not a goddamn doctor. And she can't do that before Mel dies.
I hated this.
Oh,
like, Ellie, you've seen House of the Dragon season one, episode one, right?
Okay, I'm going to ask you why you hated this. I assume it's because it's different, but I loved this scene.
I thought it was really stupid. Go ahead.
Okay, cool.
No, tell us why you loved it.
Because it actually something happened where Ellie was once again trying to reach her goals. One of the only goals that I'm on the side of wanting to actually happen because it sort of makes sense, although, as Jesse pointed out, selfish. And then Mel and Owen dying, and then Mel dying without getting the baby out, and Ellie freaking out, being shocked, not being able to do it, just felt real in a show that has a lot of moments where Ellie isn't doing things that feel realistic at all. So why didn't you like it? Why didn't you like that?
Fair. So the show really like softens this scene a lot. So I'm going to say it in the game.
Yeah.
When Owen goes to shoot Ellie, Ellie does the same thing and shoots Owen. But Mel attempts to stab Ellie. Like, she goes after Ellie. And Ellie, in, like, you know, survival instinct, wrestles the knife away. And she intentionally stabs Mel. And then realizes that she's pregnant.
She, so, like, clicker finishes her.
Yeah. So she stabs her, not knowing she's pregnant, and then finds out after she's already stabbed her.
Yeah, when she accidentally shot her, she didn't know she was pregnant either. What's your point?
Right, but in the show, it was by accident. She didn't intend to shoot her. She intentionally stabbed her.
And that's what made it worse for you? That it was
no,
an
it's
accident?
Just it was a more intense. Like I know, like the situation of like what happened in the show was like crazy and wild and like it came out of nowhere, but like these are bad people, and in the game Ellie is so like evil, well not
wait,
evil but like
wait,
really
wait.
Aggressive
can we
and,
can
like,
we chill there for a second?
Yeah.
Are they bad people? Like
everyone's bad in this fucking
no
movie.
I don't think
people
they
in a conflict basically, but I would just say I think it was the reason I this scene did not work for me, and Ryan used the word realistic, which that's like sort of my problem with it, is I think like if I'm Mel, I don't think I'm going to, first of all, you wouldn't have the presence of mind in that moment to think anything other than, oh my God, I've been shot. Right. But let's say you did, because you're like a field medic and you just got like really, you're super calm or whatever. I think
she actually
like,
was. She was. Well,
that's
medic.
Her story, right? I don't think you would be like, hey, to your murderer who just murdered your husband, save my baby. You'd probably just like spit your final curses at them and then die, right? Like, no?
Yeah, I think it was just too on the nose because Ellie's dealing with a pregnant lady and now she's trying to save a pregnant lady. I don't know.
It was just melodramatic.
I didn't
in a
yeah,
scene
I didn't
that's
like
already
it.
Melodramatic.
Yeah. And in the show, Ellie is just not as aggressive. Like, she shows signs of aggression and power, like being a powerful person. But it's so much more elevated in the game, though.
Yeah,
and
but,
that's
okay.
What I like about it.
Well, that's
and
because you're playing as
the trend,
her,
sorry. It continues well, yeah. the trend of HBO shows for some reason, like, coincidentally eating each other's lunch. And it's like, yeah, oh, we're going to have Ellie, like, and the audience is going to think it's going to happen. It's like, meanwhile, as they're shooting that scene, next week House of the Dragon premieres, and they show the whole thing on screen. And Neil Druckmann's like, shit, fuck.
Isn't Ellie sometimes as aggressive as the player is, though?
No, because in order to complete the game, you have to be a psycho killer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I would assume perhaps to live in this world, you have to be a psycho killer. I don't know, guys. Mm. Perhaps it was just a light at the end of a tunnel that I was seeing after the stupid Seraphite Island thing where I was just glad anything was happening. Fair. And I thought Mel's actor was doing a really great job, even though perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Again, very good.
Are these the same actors as the game, too?
No, it was just a little girl they threw in. They said, put her in for a third time.
I thought it was a well-acted scene. Again, it's just weird that, like, because it's a great scene. It still is. It was a great scene in the game, too. Yeah. But they just made it weird. It made more sense in the game. The way it played out, and then in the show, it just became weirder and more convoluted.
You know, I didn't foresee this, and I should have, where I was just going to get 1v2'd on the game, and it's, boy, it's going off the rails for me, and whatever. Tommy and Jesse show up, and they find Ellie, and Ellie's sad, and they bring her back to the theater. And when they get back to the theater, Ellie and Jesse have a talk. It's one of those talks that happen in shows or TV shows where if you've watched any TV show ever where like two warring factions and or two people with desperate ideas on what their lives or what each other's life should be finally come to a mutual understanding. If you've watched any TV, you're like, wow, one of these people are about to die.
Ryan, one of them's a lot That's more true. Famous.
What though? Oh yeah, you're saying that one of them's gonna die, and it's definitely not the star of the show.
Right, not the lead, probably.
The only star of the show left. Die
earlier. Yeah,
you can't kill off both. That would just be weird.
I did like this though, because again, we're shining a light on Jesse. Like we're learning more about his character, and his unfortunate demise happens the same, but I do like that we got more context for like what his vibe is. He was like kind of a ghost a bit in the game. He just was there helping you, and that was it.
Although I would say I find him a little bit bland in his total like white knight perfect altruism. I don't know. Yeah. Typically, like when my friend steals my girlfriend, I'm like a little annoyed.
They were on a break.
Yeah.
Okay. This is very Ross Rachel of them. Anyway, as you just said, they hear a commotion in the lobby. They run out. Jesse is shot dead the moment he gets out of the door. Just opens the door. Bang. He's gone. And Abby has arrived at the theater to avenge her friends, obviously, and holds Tommy at gunpoint while wearing the coolest jacket I've ever seen.
Yeah. Caitlin Dever, her aura of Abby is very good. Like she's really nailing like Abby's personality. The more and more she's on screen, it's just her physical appearance is different.
Yeah.
So I'm actually coming around to her more, although I'm still upset that she doesn't look jacked as fuck.
Mostly everyone's going to come around to Caitlin Dever. She's one of the greatest actors working today. Oh, yeah. This made she's me excellent. Think, though, they just announced the three kids who are going to play Harry, Ron, and Hermione this week.
I know, I saw.
And everybody saw who the girl who they are going to have play Hermione. Their first thought, or many of the first thoughts on the internet, were just like, general sexism and racism.
Yeah,
and then they released her audition and they were like, oh wait, that's Hermione. So it's like, yeah, Caitlin Dever's Abby definitely has that aura. Also the coolest jacket known to man. But I don't think a large portion of the audience is never going to get over the fact that she's a skinny, small lady.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine her running the wolves as Isaac wants, like being as unimposing as she is.
Also, even if the producer doesn't ask you to get jacked for the role, because maybe you're more famous than they are, you probably should still do it because it's just a cool thing to do as a professional actor, all right? The guy that played Sanji, this was like his first big break, all right? He went to culinary arts school for that shit.
Yeah, like get a kettlebell.
Yeah, or even just like go on steroids.
Jeez. Yeah, if you were committed, you would've.
And don't say you don't have
Ellie
the money.
Then, yeah, Ellie surrenders. I love this. It says Ellie surrenders. Yeah, she has a gun pointed at her. Fucking obviously, she surrenders. And asks Abby to let Tommy live. She tells Abby that she killed her friends and was the person whom Joel killed her father for. Mm. At which point Abby tells Ellie, you know, I gave you a chance to live. I let you live and you wasted it. At which point she points the gun at Ellie and then a gunshot rings out. We don't know where or what that gunshot was. It's probably Dina shooting Abby, though. Like, it's definitely not Abby shooting Ellie in the fucking head. And it cuts to black.
Let's just say I wish there was no gunshot, as the game didn't have a gunshot when this scene happened either.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What happened?
Yeah. There was no gunshot in the game.
It was everything the same except there was no gunshot.
It cut to black.
Yeah.
And then it said Abby.
Oh, and
it cut to black, and then you start to play as Abby. Yeah.
Which is exactly
similar.
Yeah. This did, right? And it cuts to 3 days earlier at the Wolf Base,
right,
in a former stadium. And Manny wakes Abby.
But just to say,
okay.
As Adam pointed out earlier, but you at this point of the game, you've been playing probably for like 30 hours, and then you suddenly
I don't know if it's that long, but yeah, it
you've
is
been playing for
it
a
is,
long time.
You're quite far. Yeah, you're quite far.
And now you're Abby.
And now you're Abby.
And it's a very like, it's very game. Jarring, and it's like a very like wild sort of transition. But here again, because the story has been sort of like the timeline has been kind of fluctuated. It didn't even really feel like we are now entering a different part of the story. I think it would have been much wiser for them to end on you wasted it and not show us Seattle. I thought that was a really weird thing to do.
I mean, they definitely chose at the end of season two that they were going to do the hard transition to the Abby storyline.
Yeah.
And she's in the stadium being summoned by Isaac. This just didn't hit for me at all.
As a non-game player, do you know what this means? Like, someone who's played the games, you're like, oh shit, now we'll find out, like, the thing. Like,
Yeah, no, obviously. It felt like we were just going to switch to Abby's storyline and see the last 3 days from her perspective and probably get flashbacks to her past. It was going to do a hard cut to Abby. That made sense to me. And the reason none of it hit at all, though, is for the same thing I said before, which is I don't care about Abby at all because they didn't make me care about Abby at all.
I know. And that's such a bummer, dude. Like, that's the thing that I really don't like about the show is that I hope people continue to watch this now because you get such a different version of Abby in the game and you get glimpses of her and you play as her periodically. Like, so this is what I meant. Like, it's disjointed. Like, you play as her before this, like, it feels like this is so much farther along, but you know, like, more of her motives and stuff by the same, like, time point. It's hard to articulate, but yeah, it's just you get a better idea of who she is as a person. She is more fleshed out and is more of a person that you can almost side with, like almost feel some
empathy
sort of like connection with.
Empathy,
thank you. Yeah. Feel some sort of empathy towards, for sure.
I'm just saying, like, from to tack on to what Adam just said, like, from a storytelling perspective, since we as the audience don't really know anything about Abby, to end on and now we get Abby's story, it sort of prompts the audience to be like, so what? Whereas, like, if you're playing the game, it's like you're still holding the controller, you're now immediately going to begin the Abby level, right? But now we're going to wait a year and a half to get the Abby side of the story,
right?
And so I really think if they had just ended it on and you wasted it, black credits, that would have been such a powerful ending. Because that's, if you don't play the next level in the game, that is sort of how that scene ends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay, so that's the finale, right? So let's now talk about the whole season. I'd like to break it down into three categories: the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's start in the good. For me, the good was episode 2, and episode 6. You know, the ones where Joel was there.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's my list for the good. What are your guys' lists?
That's funny.
I liked a lot of season 2. I didn't like the scenes with the therapist character very much. I like Dina and I like Ellie most of the time. Although I find every now and then the actress's moon face distracting. Makes her sometimes look really, really dumb, which does not play well into the fact that the characters are constantly condescending to her and treating her like she's dumb.
Because she's being and making dumb decisions.
Yeah.
What did you like about it, Adam?
I said negative things only. Sorry. I said some things like, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I like how similar some of the like really heavy plot points are. Like
what, to there the game?
Are yes.
Oh,
there,
cool.
There are
no, to
a
the
lot...
novelization of the game.
Yeah. There are a lot of points in the show that are so similar. They did such an excellent job bringing it to screen and giving you the same type of feeling and emotion. And I'm talking about, you know, the Joel scene where Joel gets killed. I'm talking about the guitar scene in the music shop. The subway scene, I think, was great. I mean, the set piece was so, so good there. And there are several others where the one-to-one comparison is so good that it's almost redeems the season as a whole. Because I just felt like this season kind of landed flat for me. It just felt, and I've used this word so many times, it just felt disjointed because I know what it's coming from. And I think that's a negative. And so like, I almost wish I didn't play the game and I got to watch the show fresh.
Or you could do the opposite and just not watch the show.
But how can I not watch the show? You know, you're a fan of the game, right? But I'll say, like, out of the two seasons, season 1 is my favorite season. I think that...
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, that season was so accurate to the story, and they did such an excellent job fleshing the story out to completion with also adding the great things that they added. Like, the Bill and Frank episode was so good, and that was not in there at all. And so I think season 1 was such a great version of how to adapt it to TV, and season 2 just felt flat for me.
Wait, wasn't there like a throwaway character episode in this season 2?
In this season?
Joey Pants as Eugene, maybe?
Yeah, Eugene. I mean, Eugene was a character, but you didn't see him. He was just mentioned.
Was there any episode Gale, that didn't revolve around Ellie and Joel? No.
No, there's so much in game 2. I don't think they could have afforded to do it.
No, probably not.
And we only got 7 episodes. Like, this should have been 10 episodes, and they should have fleshed out some of the journey between set pieces out more, because that's such a huge part of the story and learning how these people are traversing the cities and how they're dealing with factions and what happens along the way. Like, that's such a great part of the game, and that we just don't get here because it's just a different media.
And now that we've covered all the things we like, which is unreal, I don't even know if we have to do the bad category. I mean, the bad category is Ellie's character when living outside of Joel is just obviously worse. Abby is a tiny lady, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And Catherine O'Hara's character barely needed to be here. Why did we do that?
Yeah, I'm about with you there. Like, I like Dina's character a lot. She's like very similar. Ellie is different. Her motives are the same. Her execution is so different. She's much softer in the game, and I think it's because, or in the show, it's because people really didn't like her in the game because she was really aggressive and really like evil, kind of in some ways. And I think they wanted to redeem her a little bit there. I think Tommy's great, although Tommy's story did change and like how he got to where he got. He just kind of bopped around a little bit. But I loved the Jackson scene where you see from him and his wife's perspective on like protecting the town. We didn't get that in the game. So there was a lot of stuff that was added that was great, stuff that was unnecessary, I think. But overall, it's fine. It's just it fell flat. That's it.
I think we can skip right to the ugly because we're already sort of there.
I just want to say that Bella Ramsey's dramatic acting is really good, and then her like casual sort of relaxed acting, natural acting, not so good.
Sure.
Yeah, her in the basement was really, really good. That was very good.
That is super masked in the first season because Pedro Pascal and Joel is there. And they're like a dynamic duo. So those moments don't seem as like out of place, I think, that they now do because you just don't have one of the biggest stars in the world on screen to make it something slightly, and not slightly, different.
Yeah.
Well, and then also that is a tough character circle to square there. And probably in real life, most people that have killed 100 people are probably not that charming and funny.
Sure. Okay. Now here's the ugly.
Okay.
Less people watched the finale of the second season than they did the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
TV is not video games. When you kill off one of the biggest stars in the world, the show is going to suffer. There's just no way around it. And I would have loved to just be sitting in the initial meeting when this was being pitched to HBO, where they were like, so what you're going to do is a Michael leaving the office, but it's not going to be in a season 6. It's going to be in episode 2 of season 2, huh? You know what? Sounds like a very good plan.
Well, this is it's suffering the same problems that the game did. People stopped playing after Joel got killed. There are several people all over the internet that have never finished that game because of what happened. And it was a choice that was made. And it's a bummer because the story, I think the game is great. The story is so good. The dynamic between Ellie and Abby is so great. And the way they tell it is awesome. But I understand why people stopped playing it. People like were breaking their discs in half and throwing it away, you know, after that happened. So a lot of the same, it's like a repeat offender. We're getting the same thing.
But the largest downside is what James brought up earlier, which is this, as you said, is a season that mostly fell flat. And now to get to the third out of a confounding 4 seasons, we have to wait 2 years.
Yeah, I know. Wild.
Well, they're doing a part 4?
Yeah.
That's nuts. Peter Jackson
they're doing 7 episodes. Dude. Like, the next season needs to be more episodes. Like, I don't understand why it's so short.
Why would HBO give them more episodes? They lost an audience almost every week.
Well, yeah. Now they did, but they could have given 10 episodes for season 2.
Honestly, season 1 didn't do that great. Like, they had sometimes like a million concurrent watchers at 9 p.m. on Sundays for season 1. And then it just obviously went down in season 2. It's not performing great across the board.
Yeah, man. It's a tough one. It was split with the game too. An overwhelming amount of people did not like the game.
I have a real question for both of you, which is, what could they do in season 3 to totally redeem themselves?
Well, I was looking at different articles about season 3 that maybe we could read on the show, and one of them was literally titled "What Season 3 Could Do to Totally Redeem Itself." I didn't read that article, but it's just funny that Ryan, you know, somehow quoted that. But I was reading this interesting interview in IndieWire from showrunner Craig Mazin, if you guys would like to hear what he has to say about this.
Let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I would. Everything I've heard from him so far has been like very up his own ass about season two. And by the way, this is the man who made Chernobyl. So to me, he is infinite, like Perks of Being a Wallflower, infinite forever, because that show rips. But I just assume that what you're about to read is going to be frustrating to hear. Please do so.
So this is, I'm going to skip down to the end of the interview here, just picking up exactly where we were talking about. The shift that awaits us in season three, whether we like it or not, is to spend more time with Abby and become more part of her story. Let me quote Jeffrey Wright's story about Pans. I've got Caitlin Deaver. If you've got a Caitlin Deaver, you use Caitlin Deaver. I'm so excited to unleash her and to show the audience the full 360 view of that character, Mason said. and it'll be easy because she's 2D, so it'll be really easy to just spin the... Oh, I'm bullying her.
Yeah.
For as intense as a transition as it is on a character level, Mason anticipates some narrative and technical smoothness for season 3 in comparison to season 2, which had to thread dynamics in Jackson with yet another road trip to the Northwest, with establishing all the geographic hotspots in Seattle and conflict dynamics too. I don't think they really established that that well. Plus smarter zombies, that was not that big part of a story. It's a lot for any television show to manage, especially when the episode count of individual seasons gets shaved down to the bone. Yeah, why'd they do that?
Yeah.
Why did they make 10 like, shorter episodes?
Just throwing shade at HBO there?
Hopefully no shorter than the 7 episodes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, is he saying that that wasn't their choice? Because I
No, that was
I
that like that was IndieWire. That was when I do the nerdy voice, that'll be Craig Mason. Okay. That's
I got you. Gotcha.
Hopefully no shorter than the 7 episodes that preceded it, season 3 will get to build on what already established narrative work and deepen its visual world building in a way that The Last of Us really has not gotten to do yet, even over the course of its run. Season 1 absolutely did all that. It did a lot of narrative work and world building. Season 2 was just too much of a rush. The rush job.
Yeah, it felt very rushed, for sure.
We do have this weird tendency to build things and then blow them up, set them on fire, walk away from them, Mason said. But it's a different vibe to be camped out in a place, and I think season 3 production-wise will probably be smoother. Okay. That's
okay. Yeah,
so it's going to be boring, is that what
you're saying? Right.
No, I mean,
it's going to be a lot easier.
We didn't ask him how production went, you know? We don't care.
Mason is perhaps more excited for the ways that season 3 will be aiming for the same emotional target. At its core, The Last of Us is about impossible choices that characters make to survive, based on how they're connected to each other. Abby Anderson will have no shortage of those choices to make, and season 3 may also be smoother because the final choice is one we've already seen, or at least Ellie's side of it. I feel like that is like a dig at the story. You know, it's like, well, and it'll be that much more exciting that we know how what already happens.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's like he's taking a dig at Neil Druckmann. Like, he's mad a little bit about the hole that he was dug previously by the game, but he knew what this was going to be before he got involved. So,
yeah,
why are you being a dick?
I think it's not wrong, right, though. I think no, it's fine. Go ahead.
I want to hear what you had to say.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think it's wrong, though. I think that if it's done well, we'll get the same emotional response from Abby's story. And I think some people may even come to like Abby.
I did.
So I hope it does that. I hope it does that.
If we do our job right, when this is all over, or at least when season 3 is over, everybody should be confused morally and conflicted morally, and hoping that somehow these two unstoppable forces that are aimed at each other figure out a way not to kill each other, because we'll end up loving them both, and we'll end up also fearing them both. Okay.
Jesus.
Sounds pretty cheesy when you say it that way, Craig Mason.
Yeah. Hey, I'm realizing that in this last scene, Abby has this mark on her neck like she was previously hung.
Yeah, it's because she was.
Okay.
Yeah, the Seraphite Island like cutscene, like there's going to be more context to that, but I still think it was unneeded. But we'll see more of that place.
Here's a great headline. For all you folks out there, Neil Druckmann says, don't bet on it, there being a Last of Us Part 3 game.
Aww. Yeah, I know. I saw that too.
Right. Yeah,
they really don't need it.
the idea that, like, what is season 3 and 4 both just going to be furthering the story, or just have, or being the second game? Are they going to go any bit farther past? And it seems like Neil in the has said he's not going to make a third game. And this is the only way that we would ever see more of the story. But at the same time, they're rushing already. So, like, I don't know which one I want more, honestly.
Yeah, I honestly, if they didn't do a third game, I'd be totally fine with it, because the way it ends is fine. It's it can be done. But season 3 is going to be Abby's 3 days up until they meet in the theater. And then season 4 will be post theater meeting, because when they meet in the theater is only about 3/4 of the way through the game. You still have quite a bit. You still have quite a bit.
And there's a huge ending section as well.
Oh yeah. There's a lot that goes on. There's so much.
I hope that they continue it. Like, the story could be over, but can we not make a same game with the same engine? It's a really fun game.
I love it. I love it. I would be okay if they made one, but they really don't need to. I'd be totally fine if they stopped at 2.
So is there nothing they could do?
The way that they decided to, like, roll out the story for the show, it fragments the actions that you play in the video game. The way it's presented to you when you're playing is so much easier to understand because you're playing it. I think it allows the story to be told in a better way that has much more of a lasting effect and feels way less fleeting. So I think it's going to be really tough. I mean, they really have to nail a few really pivotal parts of the story for it to be redeemed, I think.
It's just, for me, like, what, I don't know about you, Adam, but, like, when I got to the end of The Last of Us 2, I felt like I had been playing that game forever.
Yeah, it was long. It felt long.
And the story felt epic, but this doesn't feel as epic.
There was a lot. No, it doesn't. It absolutely fell short so far. They could redeem it, but I don't know.
Okay, bummer.
Go hit the gym, Abby.
Yeah, do you think she's gonna come back and just be retroactively jacked? That would be funny.
I mean, it's apparently not in her contract. She should get really obese and stick it to the haters.
Yeah, and just when it's through her perspective and through her eyes, she's actually huge.
Yeah, it's like a reverse shallow hell. In her mind, she's like extremely strong and jacked, but it gives her the confidence that she needs to defeat actual soldiers.
By the way, I've watched Shallow Hal in 30-second clips the entirety of it these past 2 weeks. The internet's pushing Shallow Hal on me at the moment.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I just assume it came up because it was happening to James too, but I don't know.
Oh, that also just
not
a
that
point.
Politically correct when you think about it.
No, it's messed up.
Yeah, it is.
Also, a point of order: the game takes between 27 and 35 hours for a modest playthrough to get through.
Wow.
Some people beat it in about 20 to 24 hours, but that's like skipping a lot. Like, if you did it in 20 hours, you would have skipped that guitar scene. And some people go as far as 40 to 45 hours if they 100% the story in the game.
Okay.
Just to give some context. So we're longer, what, 7 hours in? We're 7 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, man. They skipped a lot.
This feels like when we were watching One Piece and we got to the end of the first season and I was like, James, how far are we in the show? And he was like, 50 episodes out of 1,000.
Jesus. Is it that long?
Yes, it's literally 1,000 episodes long.
Oh my God, Jesus.
Anyway, The Last of Us has been fun. I want to do a few like extra spoilery stuff, but after we do the outro so that people can leave if they'd like. But Adam, could you tell the world how to find us on the internet first, I guess?
I suppose I could. Please follow us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For just one or more dollars a month, you can subscribe, get everything ad-free early, some Patreon exclusives thrown in here and there, and I get to read your name at the end of all of the episodes, so that's pretty fun. So our current patrons are Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, and I'm James, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, Seafritz, and Cat's Pajamas 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you and all of you. It's pretty dope that you pay us to do this thing. Please also follow us on all of our social medias at the HBO Boys Podcast or the HBO Boys Pod on Threads, Instagram, TikTok. Interact with me. I'll interact with you, and it will be a good time. So with that, Ryan, what are the spoilerious things that you want to know?
Well, just
about,
while we're doing the credits, if you're listening to this, it means you're a person, and so the odds of you liking the content I post is astronomically low. But I'm also I'm on YouTube as Erratic Jimmy. Go ahead and see the kind of shit I post, so you can be really confused.
Yeah, I'm glad that you shilled it though, because you're putting a lot of effort into those videos, and I think they're pretty chill. And I think for a very niche audience, they're gonna like them very much.
You know what? I got 132 subscribers, and I knocked on doors and earned each one of those. Okay,
that's more than this podcast. So
no, yeah, well, for sure. Now we had a lot in the beginning, and then we just worked slowly but surely, as diligently as we could, to lose as many as we could.
Alienate all of them. Constantly saying slurs on the podcast.
Jesus. No.
I'm glad I wasn't here for that.
You've said all those slurs.
Yeah, I said them all. It was all my fault. Okay, here's the deal. So we actually do spoil the game and seasons 3 and potentially season 4 of what could happen in the show. So if you don't want to hear that, you can stop listening now. But we do thank you so much for listening all the way through till this point. And yeah, that's it. So without further ado, here comes some spoils. No, seriously, we're going to be spoiling the rest of the story in about 5 seconds. You should close out of the podcast if you're still listening and don't know the rest of this story. So don't say I didn't warn you.
Okay.
Anyway, Abby and Ellie fall in love at the end of the story.
Did you see
that coming? Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. That'd be sick. Okay, wait. In the game, what happens right after this? Like, in the timeline of the gun is being pointed at Ellie by Abby. What happens right after that?
You start playing as Abby.
No, I know.
Dina saves Ellie from Abby.
I absolutely could be remembering this wrong because the show's a little all over the place, but I think Abby and... Well, yeah. But Abby and Ellie, you fight each other.
Okay, what happens
to
Tommy?
You fight each other, and so Tommy is shot, but in the face, I think, but survives, right?
Yeah, I think he's actually shot in the shoulder.
What the heck?
So Jesse's dead.
Yeah, Jesse's actually dead.
Good. Cool.
Dina survives. The baby survives. I think this first fight, and Adam would remember better than me, Ellie win? No, Ellie loses.
Yeah, Ellie loses the battle fight.
Abby doesn't coup de grace her because her sidekick character, who you'll meet next season, it's like, this feels fucked up.
And for this fight, are you playing as Abby?
No, you play as Ellie.
I don't know. I think you're Abby.
Okay, because, yeah, you go back in time, you play all of that stuff as Abby. So where is this fight, this Abby-Ellie fight, after this moment where you're now playing as Ellie in the fight? Where is it in, like, is it towards the end of the game?
No, it's in
after
the dead
Abby stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm getting this wrong. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, yes. So the actual fight happens after Abby's stuff. So you go through Ellie, and then you get to the standoff, and then you play as Abby, and then you get to the same standoff, and then it progresses forward and you play as Abby, and you have to hunt Ellie down in the theater. And part of the mechanic of the game is that Ellie is incredibly crafty and really slippery, and she can evade you. So you have to try and brute force her.
Is it weird, though, in that moment, trying to kill a character that you don't want to kill?
Yeah, you know? Man. Like, yeah, you get, like, the story with Abby is, at least in the video game, you like, sort of start to like Abby and confide in her beliefs and feelings and all that stuff. And by the time Ellie and Abby meet, you're like, this is difficult. Like, and that was what was so great about it, is you're split, absolutely split on what you should do as a playing a game, like what the linear story is for the game and what your like mind wants you to do.
Yeah, and just to compare this to another similar and dramatic game, at the end of the classic, you know, talking about another crossover adaptation, Lego Revenge of the Sith, at the very end of the game, when Anakin fights Obi-Wan, it then throws it to the player to choose, who do you want to be in this fight? And as a kid, cool. Holding that PS2 controller, I was extremely conflicted. I was like, well, Obi-Wan's supposed to win, but maybe Anakin should win. And you know, really, it's kind of mind-blowing in that moment. Anybody else play that game? No?
No.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay, we don't get you very often, James. And I just want to ask you one last question before we go. Are you watching anything else these days? Anything you recommend?
I watched the latest season of Invincible. It was fine.
Oh, no. I had just gotten to the second season. And I'm in the second season. And it's great.
It's all right. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, wait till you get to the end of season two, and then imagine if you had to wait a year after that, and you'd be like, what? Nothing happened.
Okay. Well, I'm watching The Rehearsal, and it's fucking amazing.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's fun. The Switch 2 comes out literally in a week, and I'm astounded that I don't give a shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like the second season of The Last of Us, this episode of this show has been disjointed, but I liked it nonetheless. Anyway, thanks for joining us. And Jamie, you got to be on more shows, man.
Yeah, you guys got to stay up past 8 p.m., Grandpa.
No.
No, I can't. I have to play ball with these guys because they're doing a lot of free voice work. Thank you, boys, for that.
Oh, yeah. Although I haven't lended my voice as much as I probably should.
Your part's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm Ryan.
And I'm James. And what are you, Adam?
I'm Adam.
Yes, you are. And we've been the HBO Boys. Bye.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.